Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, in this passage before us, the passage makes use of oriental imagery. It's the subject of approaching the king's throne room to seek a favour. I think, for example, of Esther in Esther chapter 5. We find her coming into the presence of Ahasuerus, the king. She had a request upon her heart. She was requesting the rescue of her people. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it is clear that a heavenly throne is in view, and that the king upon the throne is none other than God himself. The purpose of approaching God is to obtain mercy to help in time of need. The drawing near is not a once and for all act, for the verb that is employed here is in the present tense. We keep coming to God and to the throne of grace to obtain this help and this mercy in times of need. This was undoubtedly what Hannah did. We're not told how long she prayed. We're not told how many years passed. But the point I want to emphasize is that she kept coming to the throne of grace in prayer. And thus far we have discovered something about her prayer when she did come. We have discovered that it was a sincere prayer. She prayed from the heart. And that's the only way we ought to pray, and that's the only prayer that God is interested in, prayers that come from the heart. And then last time we discovered that her prayer was a specific prayer, because when she came, she prayed for a man-child. And because it was a sincere prayer and a specific prayer, then, as we're going to find out tonight, it was a successful prayer. And in addition to that, it was a significant prayer. So that's the two points that I want to highlight this evening. So there's been a build-up, and there's a reason why we've been taking time just to show the nature of true prayer. Sincere, specific, that's the kind of prayer that moves the hand, that moves the world. It will be successful. And no doubt it will be deeply significant as well. So first of all, it was a successful prayer. If you look there at verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived. So we read here about the woman whose womb had been shut by God. In verse 2, we're reminded of this, she had no children. And then again in verse 5, the Lord had shut up her womb. And this is emphasized again in verse 6. So the Lord had shut up her womb. She could not conceive. She could not bear children. But now things have changed. Why? Well, she prayed, naturally enough. She prayed. She sought the face of God. She conceived. And furthermore, she bare a son. She did not pray in vain. Now, it's got to be said, please understand what I'm saying here. Hannah did her part, and then the Lord did his part. The Lord did the part that only he could do. But we can see that in the providence and the mind of God, Hannah had to play her part in the whole thing as well. She conceived and bare a son. God graciously answered that prayer. What a testimony she gives to answered prayer. So if you think again about this chapter that we've been in for a number of weeks now, Hannah prayed a prayer in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. So she prayed a prayer. In verse 11, she vowed a vow. Okay, there's a build-up here. Also in verse 11, she sought a son, and then she received the response according to verse 20. So you see the picture? She's praying. She's made a vow. I'll give him back to the Lord. She wasn't being selfish. She didn't want to hold on to her son for herself. She was prepared to give the child God was going to give her back to the Lord. So she wasn't selfish. It was a selfless prayer. She vowed a vow, and she kept her vow. It's easy to make a vow when we're in times of need and so on, and then forget about that vow. But she didn't forget about the promise she made to the Lord, and then she received a response. And she made this great confession, "For this child I prayed," verse 27. So she received exactly what she had asked for, a man-child. Now, I mentioned this a couple of weeks back as well. In addition, according to chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord visited Hannah. So he visited Hannah, and he visited her five more times, because the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. This is truly amazing. The woman who could not conceive and bear any fruit, now because of answered prayer, because of divine intervention, she conceives and bears three sons and two daughters. Five in the Bible is the number of grace. And we learned at the very beginning that Hannah's name means grace. And the point I want to apply to the meeting is very simple. I'm a simple preacher. She had received grace, but the Lord gave her more grace. And that's what James 4:6 tells us. He giveth more grace. And that's what we find here in a very simple way in this story before us, how God provides grace and how he provides more grace. Now, in Genesis chapter 29, verse 31, we read about another woman. Her name is Rachel. And the Bible is very clear and specific. Rachel was barren. And then she prayed in chapter 30, verse 1, she prayed, "Give me children or else I die." Now, she addressed the wrong person on this occasion, because she applied this to her husband. She said to her husband, "Give me children or else I die," as if it was Jacob's fault. But the fault didn't lie with Jacob. The fault lay with herself. And sometimes we can blame God when we don't get our prayers answered. And God is never at fault. And at the end of the day, if we ask the question and search our own hearts, the answer is always found in me. The fault's in me. I'm the one to blame. So in spite of that, the Bible says in verse 22, God remembered Rachel. Well, the Lord remembered Hannah, and now the Lord remembered Rachel. And we're told in verse 23 that she bare a son. There's a son again, God's man. And they called his name Joseph, verse 24. And the word Joseph means to add to. Now, what's the significance of this? When the child was born to Rachel, God said unto his mother, Rachel, "I'm going to add to Joseph." And the Lord gave Joseph a brother, and they called his name Benjamin, son of my right hand. And the word of God reminds us in Matthew 6:23, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," listen to it, "and all these things shall be," what? "Added unto you," shall be Josephed unto you, shall be given unto you, shall be added unto you. And so this barren woman in Genesis chapter 29, the Lord intervened in grace, and the Lord remembered her, and she bare a son and called his name Joseph. We think about Manoah, and his wife was barren too, Judges chapter 13 and verse 3. And God said to Manoah, we don't know the name of his wife, but we know his name. And Noah is in there as well, Manoah. Noah means peace or grace. So we're on this theme of this barren woman, and God and grace is coming again to do something for her. God said, "Thou shalt conceive and bear a son." There's another son. I don't know why it's not girls but a sons, because God obviously had a purpose. God had a purpose for Samson. God had a purpose for Joseph and so on. God had a purpose. God had a purpose. And the Bible tells us in verse 24 of Judges 13, the woman bare a son. And the miracle is attributed to the angel of the Lord, mentioned in verse 3 of Judges 13, 16 and 17. And Manoah wanted to know the name of the angel. And so Manoah said to the angel, "What is thy name?" Verse 17. And the answer is given in verse 18. "Why seekest thou thus after my name, saying it is secret?" And that word "secret" means wonderful. Now, what does that suggest to you? Does it ring any bells? What about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? "One of his names, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." And I do believe this was a Christophany. This was an Old Testament appearing of Jesus Christ. His name is Wonderful. So Wonderful visited Manoah and his wife. Christ came and intervened in that situation and gave unto the family a son called Samson. Samson. God did wonderful things. Elizabeth in the New Testament was barren. Luke chapter 1 verse 7. Zacharias, her husband, he was offering incense. Incense in the Bible speaks of prayer. He was part of the priesthood. And it was his time to be in offering the incense, burn the incense, offering prayer up to God. Do you see that? So here's this man. He's in the priestly line. He's in there offering incense. He received a message from God. Message from God was very clear. "You're going to have a boy. There's a son again. And listen, I'm going to name him for you. Thou shalt call his name John." Verse 13. John means to whom God is gracious, or whom God has graciously given. And so this family, they had waited for a long time. They were a faithful family. Again, we could ask the question, why did God not visit them sooner, this faithful family? It's the same in the case of Penina. She had sons and daughters. Why has she been fruitful? And she was an awkward kind of a person, that you rather wouldn't know. We would like to know Hannah and be in her company. And why should she be suffering in this way? It's the same thing with this family. But the time came, and I think it's deeply significant, as he was offering the incense, the angel appeared. Oh, when we pray tonight in Jesus' name, may the Lord come by his Spirit and speak unto our hearts. So here we find this woman. She was burdened when she went to the tabernacle to pray, and when she left, in verse 18 of 1 Samuel, it says she was no more sad. And I thought about that. I've heard something like that before in the Bible. No more sad. And then I thought about Jacob. Remember when he came to Peniel and the Lord dealt with him and the Lord changed his name. He said to him, "No more Jacob." Jacob means twister, the heel catcher. And after his experience with God, God changed him. God converted him 20 years before this. But now, at this particular time, after 20 years, God puts his hand upon him and changes him. And that's why the Bible says, no more Jacob. There's a change. You come to Revelation chapter 21, and we read there, no more sea. What's the significance of all this? There's a change. No more sea. There'll be no more sea, no more separation. No more Jacob, no more fleshliness. And here in the case of Hannah, no more sad. What has brought about the change? What has brought about this change? Well, when she commenced her prayer in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and wept sore. When she concluded her prayer, she was no more sad. Prayer changes things. And by the way, she also had received a priestly blessing from Eli, who's a very strange kind of a character. But the point is, God spoke through Eli. In spite of what he had done and the way he was, God spoke through him to encourage Hannah. So we could say it was a priestly blessing that she received. And Christ is our great high priest, faithful, not like Eli, yes, in his office. But thank God he's the one who blesses his people. And the point I want to emphasize for your encouragement tonight, prayer can turn a defect into a blessing, a defeat into a victory, a sorrow into a joy, and grief into gladness. Prayer can lift our burdens and remove the clouds in our lives. That's a wonderful thought. Simple, isn't it? Sometimes it's the simple things that brings the blessing. Simple thing that encourages the soul. Queen Elizabeth I said to Walter Raleigh, "Raleigh, when will you leave off begging?" He's always looking to the Queen to give him something. And her reply is very significant: "When your Majesty leaves off giving." When will God stop answering prayer? When your Majesty leaves off giving. He's a giving God. Praise his name. So here's a woman, she prays for a man child, and the Lord is pleased to open her womb, the womb that had been shut and closed by divine intervention. She played her part, God plays his part, as only God can. She conceived and bare a son. She got exactly what she asked for. She was successful when she prayed and sought the face of the Lord. And then I'll come to my final point to finish off with Hannah's supplication. And I'll try to be as brief as possible. It was a significant prayer. And the reason I say that is the birth of Hannah's son was one of the most significant births in the history of the nation of Israel, of course, apart from that of Christ. You understand that? Humanly speaking, the future of the nation rested with this godly woman's prayers. It boils down to that. And much and history has depended upon the prayers of God's people. And Samuel's birth was at a critical time when the nation was floundering. When you think of the leadership of the nation of Israel, Hophni and Phinehas, two wicked boys who took part of the offering that belonged to other people for themselves, the best part, and they did other evil things around the tent door of the tabernacle, brought disgrace. It was a terrible situation in the state of Israel. Religion was at a very low ebb, and he was a man raised up for the hour. Now, he was only a young fellow, probably maybe 3 or 4 when he was presented there. We can't say for sure, but he was around that age, 3 or 4, when he was weaned. His mother didn't go up to the tabernacle until he was weaned, until he was 3 or 4 years of age. 3 was the age I went to the Sunday school for the first time. Methodist Church there in Cullybeck. I went with my next door neighbour, and because they were going to put me into the child's class, I cried, and I stayed in my older neighbour's class for the rest of my days in the Sunday school, and a lot of the stuff then went over my head when I should have been in the boys' class, the small class I was sitting up in with these teenagers. Thought I was a big fella. That's where I got my education, Cullybeck Buick Memorial Primary School. It's all I got. But the Lord can even take someone like that and bless him and do him good. Hannah was a woman of prayer. I was so surprised to find out that her son became a man of prayer. Samuel knew how to pray. He became a vital link in the chain of salvation, and his appearance brought the advent of Christ a step closer. That's an amazing, wonderful thing. Now, before I come to a close here, let me just mention something else. This child came as a result of a union between a man and a woman. That's the thought we have before us when we read these verses at the end of this section of chapter 1. Wherefore it came to pass when the time has come after that Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. It was as a result of a union between a man and a woman that this child was produced. The Lord blessed that union. This is God's way. When we depart from God's way, we're in trouble. But then the time, when the time was come, it was God's time The miracle was followed by the natural process, a 9-month cycle. So God intervened, God opened the womb, and then Hannah had to wait for the full 9 months. This is the natural development, you see. So God again works, and Hannah has to play her part. She may have been relieved to not go through that period of time, but that's the way it was then, and that's the way it still is. You had to think about the time. God intervened, God opened her womb, but she had to wait for 9 months to see the answer realized, as far as she was concerned. We've prayed for a long time now, I suppose a year and a half, about the situation in the congregation here. We need a man. This woman prayed for a man. I mention it again. And the situation, this woman had to wait for God's man to be born, for God's man to come. So that's why I'm emphasizing when it comes to the 28th, it's important that we get Samuel, we get God's man, get the man set apart for this congregation from eternity. We need to know the mind of God. Our hearts need to be clean, our hands need to be pure, need to be seeking to live right in the unity of the Spirit in the house of God, fellowshipping together, standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, for the good of this work and the congregation. God's man is the man we're looking for. And so she had to wait for God's man, and then there's the thankfulness, there's the thought. It's a union between a man and a woman. There's a time when the time must come, fully come, and then the thankfulness. God intervened, and she gave God thanks. She said, because I have asked him of the Lord. I've asked him of the Lord. And she returns to give God thanks for his goodness and his mercy. When David Talmage, father of a famous preacher, was 18 years of age, he and his brother Jacob and sister decided to go to a party. Family wasn't in favor of that happening, but they were young and they wanted to do their own thing. Now, the mother was an invalid. She was confined to home and to a chair, to bed and so on. And she said to the three children that she dearly loved, that would be an encouragement to us all. You're going out to a party tonight, but I want you to know that I shall be here on my knees praying for you until you return. They went out, and on their return, they passed Mother's door. 2 a.m. in the morning, they looked in. She was still kneeling by the bed, praying and seeking the face of God. Early next morning, Father found the daughter on her knees weeping. And when he spoke to her, she said, go to the barn, Father. David is in worse need of you than I am. Father found David down in the barn, weeping under deep conviction of sin. Oh, the power of prayer. When he had prayed with him, David said, go to Jacob. He needs you more than I need you. He's in the wagon shed. The Lord saved all three children that morning. I'm sure the mother's heart was heavy when she saw them leave, knowing where they were going to. You can think about her waiting at home, 11 o'clock comes, midnight comes, 1 o'clock comes. Are they not going to come home? Well, they might get killed on the way back and all this kind of thing. And she keeps on praying, on bended knee, praying to the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. At 2 a.m., she hears the door opening. The children come home. Next morning, everything changes. Prayer changes things. I said that earlier. The three in the family were gloriously converted. And David had a girlfriend. She lived down the lane a little bit. And he went down and shared the testimony. And as a result of that, she too became a believer. The church, the news reached the church and produced really a revival in that area at that particular time. And David's sweetheart became the mother of T. DeWitt Talmage. Some years later, she made a solemn covenant with four other women in the congregation to meet every Wednesday morning and pray for their children until every child in the five homes were saved. Covenant was kept until every child in the five families was converted. They were very specific when they prayed. Oh, to pray specific prayers sincere prayers, and when we do follow the requirements of the Lord with clean hands and pure hearts, we will have successful prayers, and at the same time they will prove to be significant. Moody in England, preaching the word, two women prayed at home, one was bedridden. They prayed while Moody preached, and God came down and souls were saved. Luther prayed, very specific, prayed for the Reformation. The great Protestant Reformation was the result. Knox prayed and Scotland trembled. Brainerd prayed and the North American Indians were subdued. Wesley prayed and tens of thousands were converted. George Whitefield prayed and many were saved. A man was up a tree one time, and when Whitefield preached on the text, "You must be born again," he put his fingers into his ears. Foolish man. I'm not going to listen to that. And you know what God did in his divine providence? He used the fly. The fly lit in the point of his nose. And it was, you know, irritating. You know the way it is. And so what did he do? "You must be born again," he heard. And he was gloriously converted. God moves in mysterious ways, has wonders to perform. We've got the problem in this land of the protocol, problem of abortion. We've got these serious gender issues, threat to freedom of speech, conversion therapy, and so on. You've got the form there. Europe is against us. Ireland is against us. The US is against us. And we've often found that the UK government can't be trusted. We can't depend upon them. Sinn Féin gets everything that they ask for. Sodomites get the same kind of thing. They get everything they want. The Christians get a kick in the teeth. What is the resolution? Prayer. And we need to get together as never before and pray. We are the pariahs today, the outcasts of society. We need to take a leaf out of Hannah's page, if you like, the prayer book. Get before God and pray. Because when the church prays, sincere prayers, specific prayers, they will be successful prayers, and they will be significant prayers, because the prayer that she prayed changed things in her land. And if we want to see things change in our land, we've got to pray the way she did, with every confidence that the God who heard her prayers is able to answer ours. He has mercy upon us. He has compassion upon us. Thank God for that. Well, we'll pray. And we'll seek the face of the Lord together, as many as possible. I'm enjoying these recent prayer meetings now. More people are praying. Keep your prayers short and to the point. And encourage others who may not normally pray to engage in prayer. Sometimes if we pray too long, it puts others off from praying too. But let's all get in together and pray and seek the face of the Lord, the face of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for a gracious visitation tonight. Pray that thou will come down among us and all thy divine power. Teach us how to pray and what to pray for. Give us the grace now to open our mouths, and the Lord will help us as we pray. He'll give grace as we pray. And may we not become discouraged. May we keep on trusting in the Lord. Visit this land of ours that's troubled on every side. Oh God, help us. Oh God, our help in ages past. O God, our help in ages past, we're trusting in thee. Intervene in divine grace. Give us the spirit of prayer, liberty to pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.